All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another amazing podcast here on the Big MX Podcast Network, and we're talking to Ryan Amoyles about MX Locker. Be sure to support all of the sponsors who make this podcast possible: Racetech Suspension and Engines, Gold Valves, Increased Plushness, Bottoming Resistance, and they have certified service centers all over the country, and that's not only in the States, but also Canada. I want to give a huge shout out to Backyard Designs. You can use discount code BIGMX24 at checkout. Save yourself 24% off, basically a quarter of your entire purchase just by plugging that in. So you're welcome. Fast Company, those guys are awesome. The Flex Bars, they have the Spoke Torque Wrench. Say that 10 times fast. Spoke Torque Wrench. That is absolutely unbelievable. It'll keep your wheels nice and straight, or at least keep your spokes to the right tension. So you're going to want to get on that. We Big Moto Co. Those guys are awesome. Same thing with Heartbeat Hot Sauce. Luxon MX. Big MX 24 saves you 10% off of your purchase. So you can go on the website, save yourself 10% off of a set of triple clamps. And yeah, you're going to save yourself some money. So why not go do that? Instead of triple clamps, like $1,000. Now they're $900 thanks to Big MX Radio. Money Inc., those guys are awesome. They got the VP Racing Fuels. They also have the T-Rex billet throttle assemblies. Those things are badass, and like, they always look cool on the Cobras and the other 50s and stuff like that. Guts Racing, they have a discount code for us. BigMX20 saves you 20% off every single one of your orders. So go ahead and do that, guys. All right, let's get to Ryan Amoyles and MX Locker. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Racetech. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and a very special guest of mine on the line here on Big MX Radio, Ryan Amoyles from MX Locker. Ryan, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, dude, I am absolutely stoked. It's Thursday, Canadian National this weekend, and in my own backyard, and I'm dusting off my KX125. I'm over the moon.
Love it. I'm a two-stroke rider as well. I've converted my KTM 125 to a 150. So
there you go.
That's all I ride, you know, ride at the local track.
That's right. So, hey, so looking pro, going slow. And like, you guys are basically like the kings of that, really. Like, we're going to dive into it a little bit. But like, the look pro, go slow, bro, mentality, like, is heavily rooted in the MX Locker fabric. Before we get into MX Locker and what makes it so awesome, let's dial the clocks back a little bit and talk about Ryan. How do you get started?
MX Locker, just like personal life.
Well, you were born in, how you got into moto and like, yeah. Obviously this, it was something that you, like you, to work in the industry, and we talked about this off air, you have to be passionate about it. It's compulsory. Because the entire industry operates on passing around the same $20 and a lot of free t-shirts and stickers along the way. How did you first get stung by the bug that is moto, and what's kept you coming back year after year?
So my dad's from South Africa, moved to Miami, the States, when he's about 27. So my age now, I'm 27. He grew up racing, riding, like it was his favorite thing to do. Came from a family of doctors, somehow got into moto, but it was pretty big in SA. We have a lot of South Africans in the sport, so.
Tons.
You know, yeah, tons of them. And yeah, he got me my first bike at 4 years old, started riding in the local neighborhood in open lots. Grew up riding in Miami, and that was kind of like favorite thing to do. There weren't many tracks around us. There's like Airdania, Seminole Tribe MX, which used to be a massive, awesome place, but that closed down. Still there. They haven't done anything with the land, but that was a really cool track. And then the local Miami MX, which has been open, closed, which is about 30 minutes for me. But other than that, the next local track's about 2.5 hours away. So grew up riding a lot, almost every weekend, but a lot of the local tracks closed when I was in high school. So almost didn't ride for like 3-4 years, but still loved moto as a sport. Was always passionate about it. That's kind of how I got into it. We always went to Daytona every year. That was like our annual trip to go see Supercross. But other than that, that's like the most exposed I got to dirt bikes. Was never in the industry, knew people in the industry. Was kind of just an outsider of it, would go to the races. We had a family friend who actually knew Hilton Beattie, who runs like Parts Unlimited. So we got more exposed to it. when I was in college and stuff, but that was like the most exposed we've gotten to it. Believe it or not, my mom's never been to the dirt bike track to this day. So that kind of tells you how much moto I come from.
Fair enough. Well, we're cut from a very similar cloth. Well, yours is the Miami Heat version, and mine's the Canadian snow version. Mom didn't come to the track very often, maybe once or twice. I gave her a cold sore the size of Texas the one time, because I actually stood her. I showed her a place to stand next to this one of these huge jump at the track, and I'm like, "Mom, I'm going to hit this jump." And I just like looked over there on my KX85. I think it's the last time she saw me race. And then, you know, that's a long time ago because I no longer race one. So for you, like diving into like what years were you going to Daytona? Like give me a little bit of the backdrop. Are we talking like, is it Daytona during the day or Daytona during the night?
Both. When Travis Pastrana backflipped.
Yes. You know, 05.
At the finish line. Yeah. 05. Yeah. That's probably like my earliest memory of it. Like the 07 days, James Stewart. I have like a side poster of James Stewart, you know, on 259 Cowie.
Yes.
So yeah, I've been going for a while. It's probably the race we always want to get to.
I have a funny story about the 259. So I went to James' first ever race with the 7. Was December 5th, 1990 or 2005, mm-hmm. Which was the Toronto Supercross that year. That was when they used to do Toronto and Vancouver the weeks prior to the season. It was part of the championship. He actually, James technically won the 2006 World Championship over Ricky Carmichael, but because no one cared about those races and not everyone was there, it doesn't get talked about. But yeah. I was in line. I got James, it was James, Chad, Ricky doing their thing. And I put down a poster from Trans World it was from that previous year. So it was a 2-stroke poster.
Yeah.
He could have wrote 7, but he saw that poster and wrote the 259. I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cause yeah, to me, there's basically two James Stewarts. There's James Stewart, 259, 2 strokes, and then there's the 4-stroke James Stewart that's number 7. They both did amazing things.
Yeah.
So like both of us sort of growing up on the outside looking in for the sport, like what was sort of your emergence into it and understanding that you wanted to kind of carve out your own little place? And it's grown bigger almost every single year. In fact, I talked to Nick Thomasunas 1 year ago, and I feel like the MX Locker has grown leaps and bounds since. And I know it did a lot of growth prior to that. Kind of give me a little bit of the backstory of that company and your involvement with it.
Yeah. So it's kind of been a crazy story. Grew up buying and selling sneakers in high school, and that was kind of my first avenue of like, hey, making extra cash. Couldn't sit still, so was like, hey, like I was always fascinated by e-commerce, connecting people around the world. Mm-hmm. This is when like Facebook groups were like broken into like enthusiasts who really love something.
Right.
For us, it was with sneakers, right? So people love sneakers. We're buying and selling. I was going to trade shows in Miami, doing it on the fly. And I said, okay, like I have all these sneakers. How do I get them online? So that was like my first fascination of e-commerce. It was kind of at the same time I was in high school, like graduating high school, and sneakers were becoming big. Like no one knew what Yeezys were. Now everyone you kind of speak to knows what Yeezys are. A lot of bots were getting involved. So my parents were like, okay, like you got to get into college now, focus on that. I also got kicked off eBay at the same time because I was
selling too many pairs of Panda Dunks.
Yeah, too many Panda Dunks. Was under 18, and they called up my house one day. They're like, you know, how old is Ryan? Like, we have to file taxes or like give you your tax report. And my dad answered the phone and gave my birthday. They're like, oh, we're going to have to shut down your account. So that was like put a halt to it while as well trying to get into college. Then was in college, found myself Gainesville, Florida, University of Florida, go Gators. And kind of realized like I was in the hub for dirt bike riding. I would go on vermoto.com in class. I remember just sitting in class for moto, watching videos. I was bored out of my mind, listening to the lectures, and like I had my headphones in, and I had like they had a track map, and I saw Gatorback was like 20 minutes from me. I'm like, there are so many tracks around me. Like, why do I not have my dirt bike here? So, long story short, sophomore year, I convinced my dad to let me bring my dirt bike to college. And in high school, he was paying for everything, and in college, like I wanted to start getting my own gear, getting my own boots, getting my own parts for my bike. And quickly realized how expensive the sport was. Tech 10s were, I think, $600 at the time. He would never buy them for me. So it was my mission to kind of take my knowledge from sneakers and apply it to dirt bikes. Always wanted a pair of Tech 10s, would go on eBay. I think I bought like 7 gear from a privateer on eBay in bulk, would, you know, bring it and then just started an Instagram and said, hey, let me post, you know, this used gear for sale. If I could keep, you know, one set of 7 gear for free, you know, I could sell the rest and make a profit. So that was like the birth of MX Locker. That, you know, Instagram page, I went to Verbmoto and like followed everyone who was following that. Cause I said, right. Hey, if you got to follow on Instagram in the early days, you're going to see who it was, especially today even.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that was like chicken egg in a way. And the birth of like, hey, people are buying used gear. And yeah, that was kind of like the origination story.
It's really interesting. And I want to actually kind of dive a little bit deeper into how you've sort of developed that entrepreneurial like spirit, because I don't think that's just like, I don't know if someone's just born with that or if they're that's cultivated by somebody. Before I go somewhere else, actually, I want to go there first. Where, like, how did you just become, like, there's not a lot of people who even think to start selling stuff on eBay or making their own money at 17 without just going either mowing lawns or working in a drive-thru.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've always kind of had that like entrepreneurial spirit. I would wash cars, you know, to make like get money for a phone in like middle school. Mm-hmm. Was always trying to like make money somehow. Mm-hmm. You know, I was importing hats from China, you know, selling those, importing phone cases from China, selling those. Was always doing like business competitions. Like we kind of had like Shark Tank in high school. And was doing that within like the high schools around my area. So I don't know, like I've always had this fascination of like e-commerce and buying and selling. It's something with me that I can't sit still, mm-hmm. I think. And I'm always like trying to go, go, go. It's good and bad, right? Like I think sometimes I'm too much involved in it.
Yeah.
Where I'm like have this fascination to like always do something. But yeah, I think that's kind of what it's driven from.
Is a part of it also kind of sadistically liking that feeling of being under the gun, that if you don't produce, you're not going to eat?
Yeah, I think so. I think also like owning your own company, especially having employees now, it's, hey, we have to perform and hit certain goals and do certain things. And yeah, it's definitely like there's pressure on it, but it's also like a fun pressure because you're in control of the ship and you kind of make the decisions on like right now, like what we're building, what product's coming out, and to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of users now using our product, it's very cool to see.
Very cool. And yeah, from my point of view of MX Locker, it provides a solution to a number of problems, and that's essentially the essence of the entrepreneurial spirit is creating solutions. Because like, I'll give you a perfect example from like my experience. And this was like sort of a story that I'm not necessarily proud of. And mm-hmm. it's something that got me a little bit of hot water with a company that still sponsors us to this day. If you mentioned Big MX Radio with W Wheels, you can save 15% off every single one of your orders. But when I first worked with W, they couldn't offer me money, but they could offer me a set of wheels. So. Mm-hmm. At the time, I had a KX 252 stroke that I wanted a set of wheels for. I gave them my specs, and I ended up getting the wheels. And like many kids in their early 20s, at some point during that year, it was more important that I had grocery money than I had a new set of wheels.
Yeah.
And I like this is my first year doing the podcast. So this is 2014. I'm 25 years old. And I put the wheels on Facebook. I need money and all I have is these wheels to sell.
Yeah. That's what I quickly realized. It's like, hey, all these privateers are getting heaps of free gear.
Yeah.
That's like where MX Locker is like scaling started. It's like, let me just DM all these privateers. A lot of them were afraid to sell stuff in the beginning, but I said, they're not getting paid, but they're getting 40 pairs of Fox boots for free. Fox isn't paying them. They're just giving them free product. And like,
right.
And I realized like all these guys are switching sponsors. A lot of the privateers switch sponsors every year.
All the time.
So what, what do they do with that gear? Like, they can't do anything. They need money to survive and go racing.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we sit in the picture? Like, hey, we're here to buy that gear.
And so, I know many privateers and a few media people who have accounts with MX Locker that, you get a bike test, Fly Racing dresses you head to toe, and then you never need that stuff ever again. I think that's why a lot of guys don't get it personalized. Ayo. you know what I mean? And they're just like, don't bother putting my name and number on it because it's going on MX Locker in a couple weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, to this day, like, I've never bought a – like, I always – like, people always ask me, like, why don't you trick out your bike? Like, why do you do all this stuff to your bike? Like, you have access to all these parts. And I'm like, I don't like spending money, you know? Like, I don't get
high off my own stash, man.
Yeah, I'd rather sell it on the marketplace and make, you know, some money with it, so –
For certain. And then on top of that, there is also a huge need there's an appetite for young racers who maybe they do come from some means, or maybe they don't have a decent dealership nearby that would be able to have some very exclusive stuff. Like, you guys have had some of the most exclusive releases that have gone on to the marketplace within the industry over the last 2 or 3 years that otherwise individuals would have no business getting their hands on. The first and foremost that I think of is, I think, a pair of Fox boots that came out for the 50-year anniversary, I believe. Or maybe it was a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And
that special box.
Yeah, the special box that came out. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it came also with a copy of the original Fox catalog. It's funny, if you go through that catalog, how much they did basically like licensing stuff. Like, they didn't make any of their own stuff. They just licensed it with Fox on there. Like, I think that's for the longest time, Axel made Fox boots. It presents an avenue for them, those people who have the appetite for it, to find a way to have that sort of stuff in their life, including like A-kit suspension. There's guys who, whether they race outdoors or supercross, once they hang up the boots or once the next generation bike comes along, they don't have use for the stuff. And putting it on Facebook Marketplace, it's a bad look for one. And also, like, you've been on Facebook Marketplace. Hey, is this available?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. And then you get ghosted. Yeah.
You get ghosted. I mean, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, like, what we tell users, it's like, yes, we take a fee on the transactions. Like,
of course.
That's how we make money. We're in business to make money. Everyone's in business to make money, not, you know, give out money for free. So our job is now making the best experience possible, right? So continue to develop product, like, to make your life easier, right? Like, if you post A-kit, you want to have that sold in the first month. And, like, our match rate is super high for sellers, which is really good. I mean, we're continually working on product to make it easier to sell, to understand, like, you know, what to price stuff at. Like, pricing A-kit at this price will increase your odds of selling it at 20-30%. So continuing to develop that. And then also, like, our job is now to take the fees we're earning from those sales and put it into product, but as well, like, advertise this to hundreds of thousands of users on the internet. It's definitely, I've been on Facebook. I've been on a lot of marketplaces that I don't enjoy. And that's why MX Locker was built. Like, I got scammed on PayPal multiple times. I got scammed on Venmo multiple times in the sneaker game. So I was taking all those learnings, understanding the pains I had by buying shoes, even from trusted people on Facebook Marketplace, and they'll burn you. They'll quickly burn you. They'll get 2-3 reviews and then be like, oh, I built it. Let me burn this guy for $2,000. So I was taking all those learnings and putting it into a marketplace. I mean, we're learning every day, right? We're getting user feedback. We're putting it into, you know, product ideas and making the platform as best as possible for this industry, you know, so.
Yeah. So I've seen the platform itself evolve. The app has gotten better. Going straight to the website has also improved. What kind of feedback and some success stories can you share from individuals who have had some really great success, not only on the purchasing side, but also being able to sell some of their stuff?
Yeah. I mean, we have some really good power sellers. I think the coolest thing is definitely seeing, like, original sellers who have stayed with us. And, like, really believed in the platform from the beginning. Like, I had to convince users to come onto a website that, like, had 5,000 users that wasn't doing much volume to, like, hey, believe in us. You know, like, I'm a one man show, but I don't know how we did over six figures 1 month. And I'm like, whoa, like this thing has traction. And that's like when we went out to build like the big marketplace, what it is today. But like, I think it's a lot of local dealers that sell on our platform that wouldn't necessarily survive without us. There's dealers doing a couple hundred thousand a year through us. And I think it's really cool because they've kind of been left out in our industry, and for them to have an avenue to like reach customers they wouldn't reach and, you know, be able to sell on our platform that's catered to our industry. It's really cool when they call me and be like, hey, like I did this much in sales this month. Like, this is awesome. Like, I just had our best month ever, and we're continuing to work with them, right? Like, one of our big avenues is like, yes, mixing the marketplace with a nice mix of new and used stuff, because used is definitely what people come to us for, those one-off items that you can't find. But you also want to be able to sell your boots and buy a brand new pair of Tech 10s. And to know that's coming from a local dealer at a store in like South Carolina is pretty cool. Yeah, but we've had a ton of sellers, you know, earning a living now off the platform, which is really cool.
Yeah, those are the success stories that I was looking for, and that's awesome. I've even known that like there's certain privateers and even certain factory level guys that when they work with certain companies, this will blow people's minds. They can't get everything.
Yeah,
like I know that for a fact that for a long time the Star Racing guys got white boots only.
Yeah,
and if you saw someone on that team wearing not white boots, they did not get that from the sponsor. And yeah. like, who knows? Maybe one of those racers ended up going on MX Locker or something along those lines. Like that, that's a resource that is super understated. And same thing with like I know a lot of the privateers as well. Then they've been able to like get their hands on some Tech 10s that like maybe like I know it's not just unlimited free stuff from Alpine Star. Like you got a guy like David Pulley, like he gets a lot of stuff from Alpine Star, but I'm sure there's a cap to that.
Yeah,
exactly. And that guy needs to have fresh stuff all the time, right?
Yeah, we've definitely been the hotline for some top riders when they need some stuff. So, yeah. I mean, it's
perhaps
cool
some
for
polarizing
us.
Individuals.
Yeah, I have I always get memorabilia from them or have them throw in something when I'm a favorite for them. So it's pretty cool.
Perhaps they've contributed to a auction or two over the years. I know you guys, and that's one of the things we got to talk about, because you guys have been very active in running some stuff for Road to Recovery and raising some money for that as well, which has to make you guys feel good to be able to give back.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I think we've raised, a couple hundred thousand dollars. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but
that's
a
insane.
Couple hundred thousand for Road to Recovery. It all started when Jesse Nelson got hurt. And I realized there wasn't really like anything going on to like help him. And I met him at Glen Helen and I'm like, let me like use MX Soccer in a way and use our platform and let's make shirts and like sell shirts. So that's when I first got introduced to Road to Recovery. And that was like the birth of like our partnership. So they have like, if a rider is getting hurt, we're holding the auction for them. And with the context I've built up as well, like I always ask riders like, hey, can you donate a jersey to this? We've raised like a really good amount of money for them. So it's pretty awesome. And they usually have a huge, like we have a auction coming up for Devin Harriman. I was on the phone with him actually before this podcast talking about when we're going to organize that auction.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He's collected some cool stuff we'll auction off on the platform. So I'm like, hey, we have the power to do it. Why don't we help? And it's just giving back, you know, to the community we all love. So that's awesome.
Nice. And is he also doing like giving away like an awning or something like that? Cause I know he does, the legacy, the Easy Up covers and stuff like that.
I don't know. That's a good idea. I should, have him plug legacy canopies for
why not?
Him,
so. Like a co-branded legacy, MX Locker canopy, like maybe a 10 by 10, not a 10 by 20.
Yeah.
Setting up 10 by 20
suck. Yeah.
So and
they're
much.
Expensive. So.
They're expensive too. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The guys at Verb were not happy when I told them that they're 10 by 20 at, here was our last Shred Tours of the Year last year. Like we went to dinner and the 10 by 20 went away. Yeah. But that wasn't our fault. We kind of pulled it down, but that's Vegas for you. So where do you see MX Locker in a year, 5 years, 10 years?
A year, 5 years, 10 years. It's been crazy. I would say like the growth has definitely been. I never expected one how big the industry is. In terms,
is that because everyone says it's so small?
Yeah, everyone says it's so small, but then you talk to like people in the industry and you hear numbers and you're like this is definitely bigger than like. My dad always pushed me away from Moto because he's like, hey, there's not a lot of money to be made. And then when, you know, the platform starts producing numbers and you're like, whoa, like we just did this in 1 month. Like this is really cool from starting it from scratch. You know, when I did over 100,000 that 1 month and that's when we started taking it seriously, it's like, well, like there is money in this industry. You know, people love it. And like this platform is definitely needed. So 1 year, we want to expand into power sports. So we have pushed from a lot of users to go into ATVs, UTVs, street bikes. So essentially a moto guy who has a garage full of power sports equipment will be the one-stop destination for that. And how do we cater it to the user where you could add your bikes and add, you know, what brands you like, and we cater that feed to you. So our grassroots are always dirt bikes. That's what I grew up in. You know, that's what MX Locker was birthed out of. Mm-hmm. 1 year short term is just making the platform better, getting more users on it. We're over 200,000 users now, have seen like 100% growth like year over year over the past 2 years. So it's definitely been good. So 1 year just making the platform better. Some cool things we're working on is smart listings. So being able to like type in Tech 10 and an autofill listing for you if you select what Tech 10 you're listing. So taking the listing time down from like 3 minutes to 30 seconds. Hmm. So if you have an item that's like in our catalog or someone's listed before, you could essentially duplicate their listing with your photos. So that's really a cool feature we're working on. We just launched counter offers last week. And then we'll be launching new categories probably in the next 2 months. So continue to develop that. And just kind of make it the best marketplace possible for power sports.
Very neat. So, as of right now, I have a KTM 300, 2024. My favorite gear is Fox, obviously Fox Racing Canada, best gear out there, bro. And I'm an Oakley guy. Like, could I essentially like kind of plug and play like my bike and my preferences and sort of be fed what I want to see?
Yeah. So the biggest thing, like scaling a marketplace, it's in the early days, everyone loved it because there's so little products on it. So you could filter quickly, see what's coming in, find deals and be the only ones to see it. So
for them, bad for you.
Yeah. Exactly. And as a business, it's like, okay, as we start scaling, how do we better cater your feed? So one of the things we're working on the app, you'll have your My Feed page. You'll be able to personalize your feed. You'll put in the brands you like, what size gear you wear, what bikes you have. And then essentially your feed will just be catered products exactly for you. And that's something we really want to harp on. You'll be able to select what sports you participate in. So if you're only riding moto, you'll only see moto parts. Or moto gear or moto boots. If you ride street and moto, you'll see a mix of both. So really personalizing it to the user, everyone's going to have a different experience. That's like something we really want to invest in and make it your MX Locker, right? Like everyone's experience should be different. And for the sellers, it's better because we're showing products to a user who's going to buy them and convert better. And essentially putting the products in front of you that you're more likely to buy.
Right. And that's also streamlining things for the sellers because like, yeah, you can see that someone, you got 200 views on something, but if only 5 of those people were actually interested in it, you got 5 views.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. Interesting. So, how does someone go about creating your account and start selling? How quickly can that get turned around?
It's pretty quick, probably 2 minutes. We're actually streamlining the onboarding process now. So before we actually used to collect like all the information, but in the new update, you're just going to put name, phone number, you'll create a seller account, link your bank account or debit card and get listing. So essentially if an item sells, we hold money in escrow to protect both the buyer and seller. We deal with all fraud payments. And then when the money, like when the item gets delivered, we'll release funds to your debit card, or you could cash it out to your bank account. Think like a Venmo. To sign up for a seller account, 2 minutes to get an item listed. It's a fairly simple process. And we have an app in the app store. I think we're only like one of the only apps in the power sports industry in the app store. So definitely look up MX Soccer in Google Play or App Store and you can get it downloaded.
Oh, no, I've got it here. So probably the only hurdle that I'm probably going to deal with is shipping out of Canada is a joke.
Something we're working on. We have a good amount of Canadian users now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working with customs and stuff like that, it's always a pain. So we're trying to streamline that process, working with shipping companies, you know, to make it easier for the user. But a big improvement we had recently was if you're listing in a category, we recommend weights dimensions. And when your item sells, we'll provide you with a label. The buyer pays for shipping at checkout. So you don't even have to guess about shipping or going to print it. It's like, hey, Brad, your item sold. Here's your label. Smack it on a box and go ship it. Like, we deal with all that.
Yeah. That is right on. So yeah, I hope JC over at Fox isn't listening, but I can put my my old instincts on there and make some money off of those. But they're pretty worn out. I don't know if anyone wants my stinky boots, but they might. So
you never know. You never know what sells. At the right price, anything sells. You know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. What has been something is like the most like wild something you've seen come across where either you guys like. You at MX Locker purchased it off of whoever put it up there, or just like, what's the most wild thing that you've seen change hands?
This is a tough one. There's a lot of unreleased boots that get traded across, and a lot of people do not know they're unreleased. So it's like colorways that never released to the general public.
Mm.
There's been some really cool jerseys, obviously, traded on the platform. Yeah, like most random thing. It's a lot of A-Kit, a lot of like those items. I would say nothing stand out like crazy. Like we had an AC helmet of his from Loretta's get posted the other day. So it's definitely cool stuff like that. I came across a JS7 helmet that I have for myself. That's definitely like a rare item that I got a really good deal on, which I'll probably keep forever. But yeah, it's definitely... There's a lot of cool items that get posted and swooped up right away where I'm like, whoa, like that's sold quickly, you know? There's definitely users that hawk the site to look for those items. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's all the better for you guys if they're spending a little bit more screen time over at MX Locker. Before I let you go, you're not a one man show. You've got a ton of guys, sort of within your tribe that you're cultivating, a great crew around you. Of course, we mentioned Nick Thomasunas. I had him on the podcast, gotta be a year and a half ago because I was at my old apartment at the time. Give me a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of who's, spinning the gears back there.
Yeah. Our team is Andrew, who's my co-founder who built the marketplace, like, from scratch by himself. We have a team of three developers now. Nick's a brand ambassador for us. We work with Jeff Emig. Mitch is our designer. JP handles operations for us. So account management, you know, helping, you know, when you open a support ticket, like making sure we have great customer support and dealing with like account success of our big time sellers. So about six employees now. Hiring some more developers at the moment to make the platform a bit better, but yeah, not, it's a small team that does a lot. So really proud of those guys and, you know, they definitely put in the work and it shows. So
fair enough. And, I can't believe this slipped my mind, but much like WPS has Fly, much as, Parts Unlimited has Thor, you guys have Active.
Yeah.
Where does that come into play?
Active came across our plate about a year ago, 2 years ago. So it's funny because Mitch, our designer, is the original owner and then sold it to someone. And then we kind of realized like, hey, a lot of the guys we sponsor want gear deals. And it was kind of just, you know, we could hit a bird. Yeah. What's the saying?
Get two birds stoned.
Yeah. 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 So it's like, if we're doing an MX Soccer deal, we could also get them in gear. So, and it also brings us connections that a lot of people wouldn't approach to MX Soccer because they're like afraid to approach us in a way. Because they think it's going to affiliate with their other sponsors where Active, they're like, hey, I want to get involved with this. And then we could say, hey, we own MX Soccer as well. Do you want to get involved? And they're like, yes, for sure. So it's definitely,
Active's like a gateway drug.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a cool brand. We definitely run alongside MX Soccer. We have Josh Hansen in the gear now, so he's really cool to work with.
That broke the internet.
Yeah. So
A little bit.
That was, yeah.
Who was it that posted that? There was someone who posted a picture that was not supposed to. I think it was
23. We're trying to hold off on the release.
Yeah, all of a sudden it was up. And then it was on my Instagram. Like, I shared it to my story because I'm like, and then I got like, I don't think it was you. I think it was Nick who texted me and was like, can you pull that down?
Yeah, exactly. So we tried keeping it under wraps a bit, but no, it's definitely like opened up some doors like to work with Josh Hansen. And
that's big.
It's definitely cool. We have some cool stuff coming out with him, and we'll probably do some like exclusive drops on NX Software, which is good for both brands. So
very neat. Very neat.
And it's also, again, help us develop. Like, we have a Shopify integration on NX Software, so it's helped us develop that. It's definitely a side product that's helped a lot with the marketplace.
Well, you guys have grown immensely, and I predict you'll continue to grow. Ryan and Moyles here on the Big MX Radio Podcast, brought to you by Racetech Suspension and Engines. If you don't have Racetech gold valves in your motorcycle, grow up. And also the engines are damn good. The guys over at Team Solitaire use them. So if Team Solitaire is getting horsepower for them, they'll probably help you out as well. Ryan, this has been awesome. Final words from MX Locker, and maybe a little bit of call to action for people to sign up today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's been great. If you haven't been on our platform, I highly suggest checking it out. If you have stuff laying around in your garage, or you want to make extra cash with parts that no longer use your bike, definitely check us out in the App Store. Easiest way to use our platform, just MX Locker or MXLocker.com. Feel free to reach out. My email is my first name at mxlocker.com. So I'm always on it. If you have any questions, don't feel like we're a massive company. You could directly reach out to me, and again, appreciate everyone's support from the beginning. So
right on, dropping the contact info right in the podcast. Hopefully people reach out. Hopefully they sign up, and maybe they'll see a JS7 Red Bull helmet or something else wild on there. I'm sure AC's probably got a closet full of stuff that he's not going to put it on every wall of his house. So yeah. Maybe you'll see some of that stuff to pop up as well. I bet there's some mechanics over the years that have like thrown up some stuff too.
Yeah, for sure. There is.
Well, the Lord knows I got this from somebody. I'm going to tell you who, but he doesn't work there anymore. Anyway, Ryan, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for the time, my friend.
Cool. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Right on.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Hit bikes and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second car's on its side.
It's time to get it on.
Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together, times, this 1 week of racing could